We're starting a new series today, looking at some of the stories of David. Today, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, and I recommend that you do, we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, flipping through your Bibles, you may have received a stone on your way in. Did everybody receive a stone? Okay. Can I have my stone passer outers? Start passing out some stones. So as you receive a stone, I'd like you to think about this question. What are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? Now, for some, that's nice too. Okay, so what are you most afraid of? For some, that might be rejection. Some, that might be failure. For some, that might be letting people down. For some, that might be that something horrible would happen to a loved one. For some, it really might be spiders. But whatever it is that is one of your greatest fears, I'd like you to bring that to mind, because this stone is going to be part of that story in just a little bit. You see, that fear, this stone has that fear's name on it. So I want you to hang on to that. Now, the other part about today is it's going to be a bit of an interactive message. So I'd like you to imagine that we are in what's called the Valley of Elah in ancient Israel. Two mountain peaks on either side, and there's a valley right down the middle. And on each of these hillsides, there is going to be an army. Now, on the southern hillside, you might not have known this coming in, but the southern half of the room, you are all Philistines. Now, you in the middle, you can decide who you are. Now, the Philistines, this was the nation to the south. These were warmongering people. They worshiped a fish god named Dagon. So there's something really fishy about you. And they were not known for their manners. So for the rest of the sermon, those of you on this side of the room, you can boo, you can hiss, you can just be your rude little selves. You know, live out your Philistine nature, you know, as you are interacting with the story. And I should point out, I need about 10 volunteer Philistines to come on up. So if you can help me out, we need about 10 of you. 10 Philistines. If you come up here, and can we light up the floors with the lights so we can see everything? There we go. We need about 10. Yeah, just come right on up in here. There we go. Light these guys up, please. And yeah, we need about 10 Philistines. Now, over here on the northern hill, and if we could light up this side as well, please. We need some Israelites. We need about 10 Israelites. Because you all are Israelites. You're God's people. No, I'm afraid you're going to have to be better behaved because you know better. Now, the Philistines and the Israelites, they have been at war with each other for a very, very long time. Hundreds of years. You're kind of like arch enemies. Come on. Come on, some Israelites. Israelites. And so the Philistines were known for invading into the Israelite land, and then God would raise up a judge, and the judge would help to rally the people, and the people would push back the Philistines. And this was going on for hundreds of years. And then the people of Israel, they called out to God, and they asked God to give them a king who would help to rally the people and who would fight their battles for them. So, Israelites, here's what I need you to do. God ended up giving the Israelites the kind of king that they were asking for. I need you to pick the tallest and most handsome person from there and bring them up, okay? Figure out who is the tallest and most handsome person, and they're going to become your king. So somebody today, you are going to get a very sincere compliment. All right, pick a king. No, just go get him. Just go get him. They need to be tall and handsome. Somebody tall and handsome. There you go. All right. That would be King Saul. Can we have a big hand for King Saul? See, the Israelites, they have been waiting for a king like this, a king who could lead them into battle. King Saul was literally, he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He was the tallest, most handsome man in the land, which is why they made him the king. But this in the Valley of Elah, this was a very different battle. This day, something very unusual happened because, see, among the Philistine ranks, as the army gathered on one hillside and the Israelite army gathered on the other hillside, a mighty champion stepped out from the Philistine army. A champion, and you know his name. His name is?
Goliath.
Goliath. So whoever's the tallest person among the Israelites, or I mean among the Philistines, Philistine army. There we go. And hang on, you're going to need this in just a moment, my friend. Okay, just hang on to that. Hang on.
You could have said best
line. Oh, no, not yet. No, just hang on. You're gonna get your lines really soon. Okay, this is going to be fun. Okay, well, let's hang on to this for a sec, okay? All right. Okay. So this mighty champion came out, named Goliath, and he set up the situation in a Hawaiian shirt. Now this person was taller than anyone the Israelite army had ever seen. The Bible says he was 3 cubits and a span tall, which means he was somewhere between 7 and 9 feet tall. He was enormous. He was imposing. He was more heavily armed than they had ever seen. See, the Philistines, they had some advanced military technology. So this giant of a man had a sword larger than any Israelite had ever seen, a spear, a javelin larger than any Israelite had ever seen, was covered in armor stronger than they had ever encountered. And this champion issued a challenge. Now, these words aren't going to be on the screen just yet, but he said, "Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to kill and fight me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." So the Philistines have issued their challenge. And the Israelites. Now, the Israelites, they had a king, right? Who was their king? How tall was he? He was head and shoulders above everybody else. Who do you think they thought should be stepping forward at this moment? King Saul. But see, something was going on with King Saul. He started off pretty strong, but over time, over the battles, over the years, there was some compromise. And sadly, the Spirit of God had left Saul. And as the Spirit of God left Saul, so did his courage. And increasingly, so did his reason. I mean, in the chapter just before this, King Saul is sometimes so mentally troubled that he actually calls in this unknown shepherd boy named David into the royal courts just to play the guitar for him. David was just a guitar player. He was just a musician. He's easily overlooked, but he was helpful to Saul. So for 40 days, this challenge is going on. There's an army on the southern hillside, an army on the northern hillside. And each day, this champion, this monster of a warrior, would come forward. And he would say these lines, and we're going to put them up on the screen. He would say these lines. Oh, the other line, hang on. There we go. And then the Philistine said,
"This day I defy the armies of Israel."
Bigger.
"Give me a man. Let him fight each other."
That was pretty intimidating. That was pretty intimidating. But see, on hearing this, On hearing this, the scriptures tell us, on hearing the Philistines' words, next slide, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and, what's the word?
Terrified.
I know you've got your rock. You'll use it soon. Okay. They were dismayed and terrified, including their king, Saul. Fear makes us do weird things, doesn't it? Or if there's one big idea that I hope we remember today, it's this phrase. See, fear, it paralyzes. You experience like the deer in the headlights thing? Fear, it just paralyzes us. When we're afraid, we can't see the options anymore. When we're afraid, we just want to get out. Or when we're afraid, the only option we can see when for example, some fire comes is to fight fire with fire. The only option the Israelites could see is somehow if we want to beat this giant of a warrior, we've got to come up with an even larger warrior. But did they have a larger warrior? No. So they were absolutely stuck. They could see nothing other than the challenge in front of them. Fear. It paralyzes us. But faith, and that's what we're going to learn from the other part of this story. Faith frees us. So after 40 days of the Philistine army and this giant of a warrior man intimidating the Israelites, and the Israelites locked in fear, along comes the easily overlooked musician, David. He's been sent by his... Now, can I have a representative? David, would you be... David, yeah? You're ready, David? David came and he came to check on King Saul, and he came to check on the armies. You see how they're doing? He came to bring some supplies. He brought along cheese for the officers. He brought along roasted grain for the soldiers and some bread for them to eat. He was going back and forth, and he was seeing all this stuff from a distance. And he could see that the Israelite army was terrified. And so, as we get to verse 25, so the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king, who's that king? King will give great wealth to the man who will kill him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. That sounds pretty good. See, that also tells us how desperate King Saul was. He was willing to sacrifice his own family just to gain a victory in this battle. He was yet another politician who was willing to promise something he could never and should never give. But David saw something different. Next slide, please. So David asks the man standing next to him, can I have that? Get that mic? Because here we go. I'm gonna help you out, Jude. Okay. So David asked the question, what will be done? Can you say, what will be done?
What will be done?
For the man.
For the man.
Who kills this Philistine.
Who kills this Philistine.
And removes this disgrace from Israel.
Removes the disgrace from Israel.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
This uncircumcised Philistine.
You can ask your dad about that first part later. Yeah, okay. That he should defy...
Defy
the armies of the living God. That's right. He asked the question. Good job, David. But notice, David wasn't just worried about personal gain. He was worried about God's honor, wasn't he? Not just personal gain, but God's honor. And so as David is asking that some of those same questions to the other Israelites, you can just ask... They eventually, the word got to Saul. And so David went to Saul. And Saul became aware that David was willing to go into battle. But do you think that Saul was encouraging in this moment? Help me out. No. Why did Saul think that David shouldn't go? too small. He's too small. He's too small. Now, he was willing to let him go eventually. And so what Saul did, and this helps us to understand the mindset of the Israelites. Saul started to give David, little David, his armor. Tried to get him all suited up with the things that he might have worn going into battle. And then David said this next famous line. As he's thinking about wearing Saul's armor, he said this. He said, I cannot go in these.
I can't go in these.
Because
I am not used to them.
That's right. That's right. Good job. Can I get you to hold that for me? You see, David had been a shepherd. So he wasn't used to swords and javelins and spears, at least not at that point in his life. What he did know, though, is what he would use to protect the sheep, which was a slingshot. Yes. And so the rest is, as you could say, is history. And so David went out to be ready to fight the Philistine. He came, just imagine the scene. The Israelites are on one hillside, the Philistines are on the other. Goliath comes forward, and down the hill, in full view of everyone, comes David. Comes right down to the creek in the center of the valley. And there he would pick up 5 smooth stones. As he approached Goliath, Goliath would say these words. Paul, could you read the words from the screen?
Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.
Let's try that again with your microphone. Can we turn his microphone like way up? Okay.
Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.
Let's imagine that a lot. I'm not Goliath. Look for the one that says Goliath. There we go. Let's try that one more time. Let's give our sound guy a chance to do this here.
Come here, he said. We'll do it the easy way.
Yeah.
Come here, he said.
There we go.
And I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.
Yeah. All right. Woo! And then David said to the Philistine.
Okay. The Philistine, you come against me with swords and spears and
javelin.
And but I come against you in the name of the Lord or Almighty, the God of the animals of.
It's armies, but it's close enough.
What does that say?
Israel, armies of Israel.
Israel, whom you have defied.
Whom you have defied. That's right. That's right. And so David, and we're going to use an imaginary slingshot on this one, okay?
Just because we don't want to actually hurt him.
Okay, David start to swing his sling. And as the giant towards him, he let the rock go. Let's not actually let the rock go. And because David had been practicing for this moment his whole life as a shepherd boy, and because God gave him favor and God gave him courage and God enabled him to see whatever nobody else could see, the rock from the sling went straight to Goliath. And Goliath fell to the ground. And David, he got off his head. Okay, we'll just pretend. Okay, here we go. And that was pretty good. Okay. Good job. Can we have a big hand for our Philistines and for our Israelites? Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. And so the Israelite army was able to chase back the Philistines back to their land, and peace was restored in the land again. And one of the reasons why we've loved this story, this is one of the most famous stories in the Bible, is that it helps us to see how God can help us overcome the grand challenges of life. Isn't that true? How fear paralyzes, but faith frees. The Israelite army could not see the possibilities in front of them. They were so terrified. And I dare say, friend, as you think of the fears in your life, whatever those fears might be, they probably prevent you from seeing what God could do in that situation as well. Will you pull out your rock and think about your fear? All the Israelites could see was the need for an even larger warrior. All the Israelites could see is the threat in front of them. They couldn't see the possibilities there as well. But because David trusted God, you know, sometimes it's said that God will never allow you to allow something into your life that you can't handle. Have you heard that phrase before? Where is that in the Bible? It's nowhere. It's nowhere in the Bible. Now, there is a passage in 1 Corinthians that says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted and tested, that he will provide a way out so that you're able to endure it. See, friends, God will routinely place you in situations larger than you can handle, more difficult than you can handle, but he will never put you in a situation that you and he can't handle together. And so when we lean on God in our places of trial, when we lean on God in our places of fear, God can enable us to see the potential. You see, God had been preparing David for this moment for many, many years. As that shepherd boy, as he was taking care of the sheep, as he was chasing back the bears, as he was chasing back the lions, as he was killing marmots with his slingshot, God was preparing David for that very moment. Because the part of the story that we often miss is, see, in that situation with fast-moving David and that slingshot, Goliath was actually no match for him. See, David had the wisdom and the courage because of God. He had the wisdom to bring a pistol to a knife fight. And God can enable you and me to see things that on our own we could never see. And to do things that on our own we could never do. But that's only one part of the story. See, we love the story because it reminds us of the importance of our faith. And how God can use our faith to fight our battles. The even greater reminder of this story is that the ultimate battle that you face has already been fought, and it's already been won. You see, there would be one who would come after David, who would face the greatest threat known to mankind, the threat that's actually behind every major fear in your life, every major fear in your life, and in my life, and I've got many, has to do with the fear of death. And Jesus, the ultimate David, Jesus, the one who won the final victory over sin and death and the devil, just like David, he accomplished it in the most unexpected way. Who could ever imagine that a rabbi hanging on a cross would be the victory over sin and death and the devil for all mankind? Jesus has already fought that battle for you. Jesus has already conquered that giant on your behalf. And so, friends, I want you to know, for that fear in your life, whatever this rock represents, that rock that has your fear's name on it, it only takes one stone to defeat it. It only takes one stone, and you already have it. He's the cornerstone. He's the capstone. He is the stone on which our faith is based. That stone has a name, and that name is Jesus. It only takes one stone to defeat the giants in your life. And that stone has a name. His name is Jesus. What fear is paralyzing you today? And how can leaning on Jesus help you to see a possibility that otherwise you could not see? Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for these stories of faith. Oh God, we thank you that you gave such impressive courage to the shepherd boy David, so that even in the face of Goliath, the victory could be won. Thank you even more that through you, through what you accomplished on our behalf on the cross, the ultimate victory has already been won. Oh God, would you fill us today? Oh God, would you push back the fears in our life today and help us to trust in you? Free us up to see the potential, to see the possibilities. Give us courage, just like David, to step forward and to trust you and your provision. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.